In today's Mishnah, we learn the 5th and 6th Mishnah from the 9th Perek of Masechta Bava. The Mishnah begins, HaShalach Sildanot LeBeit Chamiv. So to understand this Mishnah, we have to go back a second and just to revise one point. And that is, in the time of the Mishnah, the Kiddushin and Nisuin were performed at a distance from one another. So to explain, nowadays, Kiddushin is the betrothal. That is performed what we do nowadays with handing over of a ring. So that was Kiddushin. We explained all the details back in Seder Nashim. And then there's also Nisuin, which is a final marriage, which was termed broadly as Chuppah. In the times of the Mishnahs I've just explained, there was a time period between the two. Kiddushin would be performed, and then she'd go back to live with her father, and up to about a year later, they would perform Nisuin, they'd finally be married. So what the Mishnah says is it was the custom that the day after the Kiddushin, the Chatan would send the Kala gifts. And these are the Sivlonot. So if the Chatan sends a Kala, these Sivlonot to Beit Chamiv, to her house, which is still living with her father, Shalach Sham Mea Maneh, if he sends 100 Maneh, which is matanot worth about 10,000 zuz, we say, v'achal sham surat chatan afinu dildar, and provided that he then enjoyed a surat chatan, a festive meal there, even if it was only one dinar, and that subsequently they get divorced, or one of them passes away, you say, einon nigbim, he can't ask for these gifts back. Because we say, min astam, since he was able to enjoy the surat chatan, then he was already moichel, he was already machal, he already forgo all this sivlonot, these are gifts that are already given to her. Lo achal sham, if he has not yet enjoyed the surat chatan in Beit Chamiv, in his in-law's house, this surat chatan, we say, harei elu nigbin, then the gifts that he gave, he could ask for them back. They'd be obligated to return them. We're going to explain a few more points, and before I clarify this a bit further. So shalach sivlonot morubim, if he sent a lot of gifts, and the understanding was that he's giving all these gifts and she will bring them with her into the marriage. And when he eventually marries her, we say, Harelut Nigbin, and then something happens, say you get divorced, he can ask for them back, even if he's already enjoyed this Surat Chatan, because it's quite clear now the intention of these gifts were really only to be brought into the marriage itself. Sivlonot Mu'atin, if he simply gave her a small amount of gifts, and they were the purpose for her to enjoy them while she's still at home, meaning at her parents' house, we say Eino Nigbin, they wouldn't be collected. Now, to understand this Mishnah, the Mefarshim explained, this is the way the Kati explains it, is that it's not really the size of the gifts that's important, it's really the intention. If he says, he's giving you these gifts, even something small for them to have when they're married, and they're divorced in between Kiddushin and final marriage, final Nisuin, then he can ask for them back. If he just gives her some gifts for her to enjoy there and then, and it's clear it was for there, he said, this is for you to enjoy now, then he wouldn't be able to ask for them back. The case in the Mishnah where it depends whether he enjoyed the Surat Chatan is where he just gave gifts stam without explaining why he initially gave the gifts. That's why the marker, or the discerning factor, is whether he's enjoyed the Surat Chatan or not. Let's now learn Mishnah Vav. Shchiv Mera. This is referring to someone who is gravely ill. Shekatav kol nechasav lacharim, and he writes, he gifts all his property to someone. Vishier karka kolshu, however, he left a small amount of land still for himself. We say matan tokayamet, even if he miraculously recovers, because he left himself some property that wasn't gifted to this other person, we say that his intention was to gift it to him even if he recovered, because why else would he be retaining a small amount for himself? That's almost like he assumed that he was going to recover. But even if he didn't assume he was going to recover, still the fact that he left it a little bit for him, it means that you can understand that even if he was to recover, he was going to be gifted to him. However, it would still require a kinyan, because we have a matnat shchiv mera b'miktzat, a situation where we have a gift from a shchiv mera, someone who's unwell, still would require a kinyan, someone to actually acquire this gift. So an act that constitutes that of an act of acquisition. However, lo shiar kalka kosho, if this matnat shchiv mera wrote off his entire property to somebody, we say ein matnato kayemet, meaning if he miraculously recovers, then it is quite clear from the fact he wrote off all his property, the intention of this gift was that he was assuming he was going to die. And now that he's recovered, gift is not binding. Now, what happens if lo katav bashchiv mera? What if we find this shtar matana, that it's clear from, say, the dating and everything that he was unwell at the time, but we're not sure if it was a matnat shchiv mera or if it was a matnat bari, we don't know. Hu omer shchiv mera haya, that he was actually gravely ill at the time. despite the fact he's recovered now. And therefore, since he wrote off his entire property, he wishes to say that it's not valid. Because we say, matnat shchiv mera, proper matnat shchiv mera, meaning this a proper gift in the sense that he's given all his property, if he actually recovers, then he can claim it all back. The henomrim, they say, no, bari haita, yes, you were ill at the time, but you were not shchiv mera. You were healthy, and therefore this is a matnat bari, therefore it's a good document, it's a good gift document, and it all belongs to us. So the question is, on who is a burden of proof? So we say the noten, tzarich lavi raya shahaya shchiv mera. That's divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says that since his state is healthy now, its burden of proof is on him to say that he was actually gravely ill at the time of the gift. However, chachamim orim say no, hamotzi mechavero, alav haraya, that since these individuals are trying to extract the property that have been promised in this document, as in many cases the burden of proof is on placed on the individuals who are trying to take the property. So they're coined chachamim, it's those other people that have to prove that he was bari at the time, he was healthy at the time the document was written. Those are the Mishnah today.